the production level of the dairy cows have increased a lot in the past. So we have very high performing cows, and we have the issue that the cows are not having high dry matter intake directly after calving. So there is an energy gap that we need to fill. And by not being able to increase the dry matter intake, because we are limited by the volume of the rumen, it's very helpful to increase the density of the energy. And with this, we can use special fats like the rumen inert fats to increase the fat content of the diet from the 3 to 4% that are usual to up to 6%. So with this, we have more energy available for the cow, and this will support her in, of course, the performance in case of the milk performance, but as well in the body weight and in the fertility in the end.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Boost gut health, performance, and profitability with Digestrum Prime, a phytogenic feed additive that enhances digestion and immune function in dairy calves. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/prime.
With early detection in health, reproduction, and feeding, SmaxTech future-proofs your dairy operation. Excellent, a novel product for the management of hypocalcemia. It's uncomplicated excellence. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together. Adiseo USA, producers of SmartAmine M and MilkPay.com.
Lalamond Animal Nutrition, partnering in microbial solutions for a changing world.
Hello and welcome back to the Dairy Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. My name is Barry Bradford from Michigan State University. Today, I'm happy to welcome to the show Dr. Karina Brock from Bergen Schmidt. Karina, thanks for joining today.
Thanks for the invitation. I'm happy to be here.
So before we started the show today, we were talking a little bit about the past episode that you recorded with Dr. Thomas, and you gave a little bit of your background then, but fill me in a little bit. Where did you grow up? You're from Germany originally, I assume.
Yes, I'm from Germany. And I was not really moving at my first years in science, I would say. So I did my bachelor, my master, and as well my PhD at the university in Gießen. So it's the middle of Germany. And then I directly started with Bergen Schmidt, which is located in Hamburg. And yeah, so there I learned a lot of fats for nutrition and how we can use it in different functions. And I started traveling a little bit around the world and saw what we can really achieve with our nutrition. So this was quite fun.
Sounds good. And I know you were mentioning one of the things that you're getting ready for now is EuroTier in Hanover. And as we're recording this, World Dairy Expo has just kind of come to a close here, which is kind of the big event for the dairy industry in the U.S. How does EuroTier compare? I know it's a cross species, correct?
Yeah, it's a cross species, and it's not only related to nutrition. So it's a big crowd, an exhibition place in Hanover, and we have different halls with different topics. We have three halls which are related to nutrition, where we can see then different products for all animal species, but mainly livestock. And then we also have some halls with husbandry, with different techniques for slaughtering. But of course, we have also one hall with the topic of breed, and there we are real animals. So this is also, I guess, something which is special to other exhibitions, that we also have some real animals there. And I guess the focus is not only the science, but also, the practical things. So we also have a lot of farmers visiting the EuroTier. And then for us especially, it's a get-together with all our clients and see what the other nutrition departures are doing and where we are heading. And of course, for this year, it's very special for us because we will introduce our rebranding that we started beginning of the year, and with this also our new products that we developed.
Okay. Talk me through that rebranding a little bit, if you would.
Yeah, Bergen Schmidt is belonging to the Stern Vivial Group. So this is a big family group, which are having different departments, mainly in the food business. So like vitamins or special ads to get a better flour or something like this. Mm-hmm. And Bergen Schmidt is the part of the animal nutrition, but not alone. We also have oleochemicals and chemical performance. And we decided to do beginning of the year a rebranding so that we are more focused in this special department, so that Bergen Schmidt Animal Nutrition is more in the focus for us. And with this, we also combined all our companies that we have all over the world. So our headquarters in Hamburg, as I said, and we also have one location in Chicago. We have one in Dubai. Our production is in Malaysia. In Singapore, we have an office. So we all combined this to Bergenschmidt Animal Nutrition, of course, with new logo and new colors, so that we are having a common view on our company, so that we are all in one now and focusing on animal nutrition.
Very good. Wow. Sounds like it should be good for those of you in animal nutrition, right? You have more of a focus, you know, within your business unit now.
Yeah, more of a focus and, of course, more sharing the knowledge all over the world. And this is very helpful so that we get the expertise from, all different departments.
Elevate animal performance with Bergenschmidt Animal Nutrition, your trusted ally in excellence. Their high-quality feed ingredients like coated nutrients and fat powders provide ruminants with extra energy, boosting health, productivity, and cost efficiency. Unleash your herd's potential with Bergenschmidt.
Well, today the plan is to talk about dietary fat, and some people listening don't work specifically in nutrition, right? We have all kinds of different people working in different aspects of the dairy industry. So let's start off with why has there been such a growth in the interest in feeding fat in the last 40 years in the dairy industry? It's not something people would have talked about in the 1950s, is feeding a lot of fat to dairy cows. Why has that change happened?
Yeah, so fat is not really a big amount in the diet of a cow. So we are talking here about 3-4% of a TMR. So it's not really a big deal in the beginning. But these 3-4% are very important, as fats have different roles in the metabolism of the cow. So besides, of course, the energy that everyone is thinking of, fat, the fat also have different action points relating to the different fatty acids. So there are some fats that are more increasing the milk fat, but there are also some fats more important for the maintenance for the body weight. And we also have some fats that are very important for the immune system and reproduction. So this is, I guess, one thing where we are looking more in the different fatty acids. But on the other side, the production level of the dairy cows have increased a lot in the past. So we have very high performing cows, and we have the issue that the cows are not having high dry matter intake directly after calving. So there is an energy gap that we need to fill. And by not being able to increase the dry matter intake, because we are limited by the volume of the rumen, it's very helpful to increase the density of the energy. And with this, we can use special fats like the rumen inert fats to increase the fat content of the diet from the 3-4% that are usual to up to 6%. So with this, we have more energy available for the cow. And this will support her in, of course, the performance in case of the milk performance, but as well in the body weight and in the fertility in the end.
That makes a lot of sense. So, of course, one of the reasons if we're talking about getting as much energy within a certain density of the diet, like within a certain mass of diet, the reason we talk about fats is because, of course, it's the highest caloric value of any, nutrient we can feed. But You said the term rumen inert. What does that mean? Why can't I just go buy the cheapest vegetable oil I can find and dump that on the diet?
Because I would say a ruminant is not a monogastric. This is the main point. So in dairy cows or in ruminants in general, we have the microbes in the rumen. And those microbes are very specific. And some, I would say, they don't like the unsaturated fats. So the unsaturated fatty acids are toxic to them. And this is why the rumen microbes have developed a process that is called biohydrogenation. So every unsaturated fat that is coming from linseed or cottonseed, for example, is going into rumen and will be biohydrogenated. That means that the form of, for example, linoleic acid or linolenic acid will be biohydrogenated into a saturated form with then the stearic acid. And then it's harmless to the microbes and everything is fine. So this is why we have to take a look which fat we use, not to avoid interaction with the rumen microbes. So this at once, because interacting with the rumen microbes will also have an impact on digestibility of fiber, of course. But the other thing is, in this process of biohydrogenation, so it would not be a big thing because the the microbes are able to biohydrogenate the fat and everything will be fine. But during this process, there are some products called CLAs. And special forms of those CLAs are known to get into the milk fat depression. So this is something we also want to avoid. So we have to take care here which fats we are feeding to the cow.
Excellent. Yeah, so that's a lot of complicated concepts that Dr. Brock just covered very well there. Thank you. So, okay, so we've decided we want fatty acids that are rumen inert, that don't interact with microbes in the rumen as much as just an unsaturated oil would or a vegetable oil. So what does that look like? How do you make a rumen inert fat or a rumen bypass fat?
At the moment, there are existing three different forms on the market. So we have the hydrogenated fat. This is very simple, just doing like the hydrogenation before it comes in the rumen, so that we have like unsaturated rapeseed oil, for example, we hydrogenate it into a saturated fat. So it's more or less the same process like getting a rapeseed oil into a margarine for the food. So this is the same process because usually rapeseed oil would be liquid at room temperature, but if we hydrogenate it, it gets more or less solid, I would say.
Yep.
Not as solid as a butter, because there we have a lot of saturated fats and other fats, and this is really a solid product at room temperature. So this is one option we can do. And the other two options that are more common is the calcium soap. So binding the fatty acids to a calcium ion and make it with this rumen stable, or having fractionated fats. And this is what we are doing mostly in our manufacturing in Malaysia, so that we really have the palm oil as our basis. And from this, we are going to a fractionation process to specify our product with palmitic acid. Because palmitic acid is a saturated fat, which will not have an interaction with the rumen microbes, and it's very well digestible. So this is why we are looking for such a product. And of course, we can vary here in different fatty acids, but this is, I would say, the basis of our product portfolio. And within those three different forms, so the hydrogenated, the calcium soap, and the fractionated, we also have different advantages and disadvantages referring to the different fatty acid composition of the products.
Okay, so that makes some sense. The approach your company is taking is to say, well, we can separate out the saturated fat that are not toxic to the rumen bacteria. But there's other reasons. I mean, palmitic acid has been so popular in the industry, and because it seems to act differently once it's absorbed as well. Talk me through that.
Yeah, palmitic acid has different advantages. So one is, of course, that it's rumen stable because it's a saturated one, mm-hmm. but it's also nicely digestible. So its small intestine can be absorbed very easily. And the good thing about palmitic acid is that it's directly correlated with the milk fat. So increasing the palmitic acid content in the diet will directly increase the milk fat content by increasing the palmitic acid content in the milk fat. So this is something that is very well known. And something that I read, I would say was this year, it was a new publication about how the palmitic acid is having a positive effect on the NDF digestibility in the rumen. So there we also have another advantage of the product.
And I'm not sure what number you would say, but if I were to feed, say, another 100 grams of palmitic acid in my diet, how many of those grams would you expect to show up in milk fat?
I really do not know the exact number, but I know that we did a trial end of last year to compare two different products with different amounts of palmitic acid in it. So the first product was our base product of palmitic acid, and the second one was a new blend for reducing methane. So this is why there was a little bit less palmitic acid in it, because it was also a blend with other fatty acids. And it was quite nice to see. So if we had more palmitic acid in the product, we had a higher milk fat. And because we implemented it in the concentrate feed, so in the pellets, and then we had to adapt the amount of the fat in the pellet because there was a bit difficulties in the pellet stability. Mm-hmm. So we reduced it from 7% to 5% fat in the pellet. And then we directly saw, okay, we are reducing the fat, and with this, the palmitic acid and the milk fat was going after this. So this was quite nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of data showing that strong correlation, as you said. So you mentioned this sort of newer research getting into blends of different fatty acids. So you're fractionating your source fat and then recombining some parts of that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And then you mentioned one particular aspect of that may be inhibition of methane production for greenhouse gas benefits. Are there other reasons you're chasing that? Talk me through that program.
So, of course, the palmitic acid is very well known for helping or for supporting the milk yield and also the milk fat. But besides this, we also have the option of using different other fatty acids. So, for example, one idea was to have a special plant with special fatty acids to reduce the methane, to have an interaction in the rumen. But we also have another new product that we also wanted to introduce at the Eurotier, a blend with the palmitic acid and the oleic acid. Because from literature, it's already known that oleic acid has a special impact on the dairy cows. It's giving, on the first hand, of course, more energy, because we also have a fat. And with the unsaturated fat, we have more digestible fat, so we have a higher energy intake as well. But from literature, we know this energy intake is not only showing more energy output in the case of milk performance, but it's also showing a higher maintenance, so that we have less body weight changes. And this makes this product very nicely for the early lactation or the high lactation, especially for hybrid using cows, so that we can really say, okay, depending on which part of the lactation period we are in, and if we are on low producing or high producing cows, we can then really look in our portfolio and say, okay, we are using a more palmitic acid product, we are using a blend of palmitic and oleic acid, or we are using a special ratio between those two. So we really can adapt on the different requirements the perfect combination of fatty acids.
Very nice. Let's back up one step. You mentioned earlier that unsaturated fats can be somewhat toxic to ruminal microbes, at least if we feed too much. Does oleic acid have those problems? You said that's unsaturated.
Yeah, that's true. So usually it would have an impact on the rumen microbes and would be then a disadvantage. So we have to make sure that it's in a rumen inert form. So at the moment at the market, we know that there are products of calcium soaps having this special blend of palmitic and oleic acid. So there we can have a rumen-protected unsaturated fat for the cow. But the disadvantage of this product is that this calcium bound is pH sensitive. So as soon as the pH drops, this can break, and then we have the unsaturated fat free in the rumen. So this is something we want to avoid. And as I said, we in Bergenschmidt Animal Nutrition are more focusing on fractionated fats. So we try to get a fractionated fat with this special blend. And so we developed a special process how we can get this unsaturated fat into a high fractionated fat with 99% fat, so that it's rumen inert, but still it's the unsaturated fat in it. So this was a very tricky development and with a lot of different steps in it. But in the end, it was very successful, I would say. Besides this rumen property that we want to achieve, so that we want to have a rumen-stable product, it's also the case that as soon as you have unsaturated fats in a product, the fat itself is getting more soft. So this is also something we wanted to achieve, that we have a product that is even under high temperature conditions in a storage, for example, not melting directly. So this was something that our production developed very well over the last years.
That's impressive. And this is in the form of little beads, little prills. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's flowable. This is, I guess, what most people are used to feeding if they're feeding fats.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of what I and my colleagues do is talk about these, exactly what you're talking about. We have these targeted windows where we can find cows that are really going to benefit from some strategy much more than if we can feed the whole herd. And inevitably, we hear back from many people, well, that's really complicated, or my farm is too small to do all this targeting.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have a wide range of farm sizes in Germany, but there's still lots of, you know, lots of small farms throughout Europe. And so how do you talk through with customers, you know, these strategies that make a lot of sense, but maybe hard to implement?
Yeah, this is not so easy. So we already have a lot of farms that are having like a close-up and a fresh cow group so that they are feeding the 21 days before and 21 days after calving. And then all cows are getting in one lactation herd. So there we could have the option that we say, okay, like a more palmitic acid product we can then feed in the lactation period, but avoid to feed it in early lactation. But with the new product, with the blend of oleic and palmitic acid, we can also say, okay, we can start in the early lactation and can maybe switch to a more high palmitic acid product. But what we saw so far with the new product, so with the blend of palmitic and oleic acid, is that the early lactation cows as well as the high ones are benefit from it. So if I have here in Germany, for example, a farm that is only feeding one diet, so that they say, okay, after 5 days after calving, they're all getting in the one herd of the lactating cows. Then I would also always look into a product that is having some amount of unsaturated fats. So I would not go in a product that is highly in saturated fat. So this is something that I would really more focus on when we have the different diets available. But if we only have one diet, I always like to go in a product which has palmitic acid, but as well some unsaturated fats in it.
Our Yeast 40 is a natural biotechnology from ICC designed to boost the health and productivity of animals under challenging production systems. Our Yeast 40 performance is supported by an unique processing technology that results in a pure product containing high levels of beta-glucans, MOS, and yeast metabolites. These factors, combined, promote the ruminal and intestinal modulation, helping the animals to reach their full potential.
Another sort of application question is what we've seen, at least in North America, as people have learned about palm fats and palmitic acid specifically, is I think at least many nutritionists have gotten to the point where they'll watch the value of milk fat and the cost of supplements like that and sort of try to figure out a price point ratio where it makes economic sense to feed palmitic acid just simply for the milk fat response. Now, with blends like this, how would you think about the economics of feeding something like this? Should it be some kind of similar metric or how do you approach that?
From the trial that we did, I would say it's having a better economical benefit because through the oleic acid, we have a higher digestibility in total fat. And with this, we have more fat available for the cow as energy for milk for more milk yield, but as well for more milk fat. Then it's really depending on the different dairies and on the pricing level. What is the benefit really for the milk fat and what is the benefit in general then for the milk price in general? I guess this is really depending, but I guess this is not only in US, it's all over the world. So Depending on how the dairy are paying for the milk, if they are giving a special bonus for the milk fat or if they only are looking at the milk yield and the total price for the milk, it makes more or less sense than to use rumen inert fat, I would say. But in most cases, it's beneficial, I would say. We had, I guess it's 2 years ago, there were the milk price so low that it was a bit difficult. Mm. But still, we had a lot of clients that were using, they're not the recommended 300 grams per head per day, but they still used 100 grams per head per day. So that they said they want to have the product in the diet, because they know the benefits, and it's not only the milk yield and the milk fat, it's also the fertility and also the locomotion, for example. That's it's very important also for the hooves, that the cows are able to walk. So they always like to use the product, but of course they have to adapt it in the case when the milk price is very low. Mm-hmm. But currently I would say the milk price is okay, so
yeah,
it's fine.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I was curious a little bit about thoughts on fertility, especially with these blends showing maybe better retention of body weight and early lactation. I think there's real potential for improved fertility, although I'm not sure that there's a lot of controlled research to back that up yet. Maybe that data will come. Okay, what are the, if you're looking down the road and thinking about, you know, next things that you can do with fatty acids as tools to promote cow productivity or cow health. I don't know what you can share, but what are you thinking about for sort of the next generation of fat supplements?
I guess with the two new products that we are working on, so with a fractionated fat as a blend of palmitic and oleic acid, we are quite good in a next generation fat powder. And also the development that we are doing in looking into methane reduction with our reduction in performance. I guess this is also something, especially in Europe, that will come. And for me personally, I would like to look more in DHA, in omega fatty acids, because as you said, fertility is also a big topic. And I guess it's also a point why a lot of cows have to leave the herd. So this would also be something of interest to get more in the longevity and in the sustainability with healthier animals.
Excellent. Makes sense. It'll be fun to watch what you and your team develop there.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Our Yeast 40 Ruminal and Intestinal Double Modulation by ICC Animal Nutrition. Feed solutions that surpass expectations. Learn more about the benefits of working with Schooler. Visit schooler.com/feed. That's schooler.com/feed. Natural Biologics delivers cost-effective solutions to improve health and productivity, helping conquer the rumen health and immunity challenges your animals face. Your partner for extra animal performance, Bergen Schmidt Animal Nutrition.
AgriTrack, leading traction solutions for herd health. Contact us today to boost safety, comfort, and savings for your herd. Invest in the best. Who would your cows choose? Modern solutions for modern cows with AHV. Contact us to beat biofilm-related issues in your herd.
Natural Biologics is using cutting-edge science to deliver cost-effective solutions for the animal health and productivity challenges you face. For conventional or organic production systems, Natural Biologics can help support rumen health and immune function, mitigate pathogens, and increase production efficiency. Visit naturalbiologics.com to learn more.
Well, I'm sure in the world you live in, and either you have friends or family that maybe are not very involved in agriculture, maybe don't have a whole lot of background. I'm curious, the area you're working in is a very technical part of animal nutrition. I think to me, one of the hardest things to teach when I, teach undergraduates the concepts in livestock nutrition. How do you explain, what you do and why it's so complicated to feed fats to a cow?
I guess the most time I'm just saying I'm going on a business trip to see a cow and to make pictures with her. That's the easiest way. But I guess it's very important to explain the whole picture so that we have a lot of people on the ground here and that it will be more in future. And we need to have a very good source of protein and in general of nutrition for them. And this is why we have to take care already in the nutrition of the animals so that we have healthy animals with high productive level and to get all the food done. So and for this, we have to watch very closely how we can use our sources of feed material and to use it the best way. And I guess with the nutrition, it's very okay to explain it to my family and friends. I guess it's more the housing of the animals that is quite the discussion. So if I'm looking at the Middle East, how huge farms there are existing, but of course we also have a lot of people that want to have something to eat. So
if you're talking to some people and maybe you get some challenging questions, is there one thing that you wish you could help people understand that's a misconception about the dairy sector?
I guess it would be nice to explain them how the animals what the animals prefer. So for example, that a cow has a special range of temperature that she likes or a special feed as well. So that for example, it's not really necessary to have a cow the whole day on a meadow. Of course, this is also a construct that we are having, like in Chile, where we have the cows on a meadow. But it's also possible to have it in a tie-style barn, and they're also happy. So I saw a lot of very good temperature-controlled barns and with very good food feed quality. And the cows didn't like unhappy. So I guess it's more important to explain than how we are working. And it's a good thing that we are working this way and that we are looking on science and to try to improve everything. So,
well said. Very good. Well, Dr. Karina Brock, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks that I had a chance to be here and to talk a bit of what we are doing with our fat nutrition.
It's been a good conversation. I definitely look forward to seeing the new products roll out and see what new innovations you and your colleagues come up with in the coming years.
I'm looking forward to it too.
Well, this has been another episode of the Dairy Podcast Show brought to you by Wisenetics. If you haven't followed the show or liked it yet, make sure you hit that button so you don't miss the next episode. And until then, this is Barry Bradford, and we'll see you next time.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.